Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Teaching Fishing Coffee Hour. Look at guys, I can't control it, but we are having issues here with our internet. There's been trucks in our neighborhood for the last couple days last week, and they were here today. So you may have to refresh a couple times tonight. I apologize for that. Nothing that we can control. You guys know how internet can be. We have great internet here. Traditionally, and you know, I'm paying for fast internet service for the business service here, but unfortunately sometimes we get a little glitch. So we will do the best we can. If you have to refresh, just get the refresh button and we'll get it. If it gets really, really, really bad tonight, we may have to shut her down and figure something out, but we'll do the best we can. You know, hey, remember, who remembers AOL and dial-up, right? So we're actually doing pretty good. Good to see everybody tonight. Boy, March is going out like a lion, is she not? Kind of got everybody excited a couple weeks ago with the nice weather, and everybody kind of got all ready to go and go fishing, and Mother Nature said, no, not yet. It's not quite ready yet, so lots of cold days. A lot of our buddies are down pre-fishing for the National Walleye Tour. I've been getting lots of phone calls. How's the fishing? What's going on? You know, just kind of tough fishing right now. I know a couple of the guys have been down there and struggling. So, yeah, tough fishing. But that's not why we're here tonight. We are here to actually help you catch more fish this spring. And we're going to talk tonight during Teaching Fishing Coffee Hour Plus, presented by ProCure. Big thank you to the folks at ProCure that make this happen. We are going to talk tonight about spring crankbait. So just so everybody knows how this goes, number one, if you're new, please let us know that you're new. Let us know where you're from and let us know how you found out about us. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever the case may be, let us know where you found out about us. Let us know that you're new here. We like to see the new people. It's good to see the old folks here too. I shouldn't say old folks, the traditional folks are here. So what we do here at Coffee Hour Plus is we spend about 20 minutes on our educational segment, which tonight obviously is spring crankbaits. We'll spend 15, 20 minutes on that. I got some slides to show you. We'll answer some questions for you. And then we'll jump right into our traditional coffee hour fun topic. And tonight we're going to talk about what's on your 2022 fishing bucket list. Maybe a new place to go, maybe a new technique to try, maybe a new person to fish with. What's on your bucket list for 2022? So welcome, appreciate it. If you get a few minutes, head over to our website, teachingfishing.com, click on the public forum button. Lots of really cool video to watch. We've got the Teaching Fishing Anglers Club that we'd love to have you join. Tomorrow night is our live Q&A for March for the Teaching Fishing Anglers Club. DVD to stream. It's got some really cool DVD stuff there. Lots of cool things going on. We still got some spots for our trolling boot camp. So those of you who learned tonight about spring crankbaits, if you really want to learn how to put the whole trolling puzzle together, you can hop on my pontoon in June and July. We got, I think, 6 dates with 3 other guys. We have 4 people at a time. Hop on there. We're going to walk through everything you need to know about trolling, take you out in the pontoon, and actually let you hands-on do everything you need to do. So lots of stuff going on here at Teaching Fishing. We are really proud of what we've got going and the new look and everything kind of coming together with the new website. So let's get started tonight talking about spring crankbaits. Now, I love to troll crankbaits in the spring. Unfortunately, the places you can do that and catch a lot of fish, particularly Lake Erie in my part of the world, Saginaw Bay, unfortunately, as my good buddy Mark Panazak found out, you can't always trust the weather for guiding this time of year. So I spend my late March, April, and May on the Detroit River because it is a little more consistent weather. But I love to get out and troll for big fish in the spring. And my number one way to do that is crankbait. So I'm going to share with you some of the things we've learned over the last couple of years on picking the right crankbaits for springtime, because there are some particulars that you need to pay attention to. So let's hop right into it. So a couple of factors we want to look at. When we talk about action, we want a rolling action or a wiggle action. So when I think of a roll, I think of baits like traditional wood Rapalas, right? P10s. Thunder sticks or junior thunder sticks, right? Whatever the case would be, shallow diving baits that have a roll, right? The baits move side to side this way. That's what I call a roll. When I'm talking about a wiggle, I'm talking about baits like a Bandit or a Reaper or a Reef Runner that actually has a wiggle where the rear end actually moves left to right. So we've got roll and we've got wiggle, two completely different things. There are days that roll is better than wiggle. There are days that wiggle is better than roll. So we have to kind of look at our bait. So how do we do that? We do that with the bill shape. The bill shape really gives us an idea of how our bait is going to act. So the smaller the bill is, so traditionally a quote unquote shallow diving lure, the more roll it's going to have, okay? So this is a P10. This is a Junior Thunderstick. You can see the short bill. Everybody knows, you know, an old wood Rapala, right? The shorter the bill is, and the closer the line tie is to the nose, the more the bait is going to roll. The longer the bill is, and the further the line tie is from the nose, the more the bait is going to wiggle. So we can determine the action just by looking at the bill, okay? And we're going to talk about this in just a second because it's important to understand why we need both types of baits. So the reason we do is this. Remember, sometimes roll is better than the wiggle. So the biggest mistake that I see a lot of trollers make in the spring when they pick a crankbait is they go, well, you know, I only need that crankbait to go down 7-8 feet. So they instantly grab a shallow diving bait. The problem is when you do that, all you get is a roll. Some days that's okay, but some days, even if you want to get your bait down 7 feet, it's better to take a bait with a wiggle, with a bigger bill and a long tie, a line tie further away from the nose, so we get more rear end wiggle action. Sometimes it's better to take these baits and only run them 10, 12, 15 feet behind your offshore board, get them 7 feet down, but you have a different action. So you have a roll and you have a wiggle. So just because it's a shallow situation where you need your baits to go shallow, don't just instantly grab a shallow diving bait. Conversely, if you need a crankbait down 20 feet, don't instantly grab a deep diving crankbait, okay? It's a great idea and it's gonna get down there and it's going to wiggle, but what if those fish down in 20 feet of water want a bait that's actually got a roll action to it? So we can take a bait with a short bill that has a roll action. We can put it behind an inline weight, a tadpole, one of my favorite ways to do it, a snap weight, lead core line, whatever the case may be. So don't just pick a shallow bait for fishing shallow and a deep diving bait for fishing deep. Understand the difference between the action that is created by the bills. That's important. Smaller the bill, the more roll. Longer bill, the more wiggle. And then kind of a hybrid. So here we've got this is a Walleye Nation Creation Reaper. Has the same basic bill as the Bandit does. So you'd think, ooh, lots of wiggle. It does have some wiggle, but look how close the line tie is to the nose. So the line tie is a lot closer to the nose than the Bandit is. So that tells us two things. Number one, it's going to wiggle because it has the big bill, but it's going to have a little more roll in it. And it's also going to run through the water flatter because the longer this bill is, and the further the line tie is from the nose, the more steep the angle of dive is. So as the line tie gets further from the bait, the steeper the bait goes. As the line tie gets closer, the flatter the bait runs. Okay, so it's important to have baits that have big bills with line ties away from the nose, big bills with line ties close to the nose, and then small bills with the line tie right on the nose. All three of those are important, guys. So when we talk about buying crankbaits, we talk about buying deep or buying wide before you buy deep. You're better off to have 12 different types of crankbaits in 3 or 4 colors than you are to have 1 or 2 types of crankbaits in, you know, 100 colors. So when you're picking your crankbait selection, make sure you buy wide before you buy deep. And those are 4 great baits, right? Shallow Thunderstick, P10, Bandit, Walleye Nation Creation Reaper. Sure, add in a top 20. So if you took a top 20, which is the same bait as this, just has the big bill, completely different actions. Same size, same shape, but completely different action. That's why action is below size and shape on our 8 steps, because the size, the shape, and the speed you're on the lure creates the action, okay? So understand that. Sometimes a shallow bait getting deep is better than a deep bait getting deep, and sometimes a deep diving bait fish shallow is better than just a shallow bait. Understand the action, okay? We talk about sound a lot, low frequency, and every single one of these baits up here has a low frequency rattle in it, right? That 1 or 2 big BBs that make that now, you know, we've talked about sound over and over and over again, and especially in cold water, low frequency sound is a huge advantage to crankbaits. So pay attention to those things and you're on the right way. Okay, let's talk about color. Again, color is the last. It's the eighth step of our eight steps, so it's last. Doesn't mean it's not important. Just means it's not important until everything else is right. So we talk about four colors. We call it prop, purple, red, orange, and pink. You'll notice that most of the baits that I fish, most of the baits that I am, all the baits that I've designed colors for, and you know, a lot of the baits that I fish, almost 100% of the baits I fish, have some purple, red, orange, or pink on the belly. Because remember, especially in springtime, we're fishing up above the fish, right? We're trying to get our bait sometimes 6, 8, sometimes 10, 12 feet above the fish in springtime, because they'll come a long way in cold water to get a bait. So they're looking at the bottom of the bait more than they are the top. So we want to make sure we've got one of those four colors. It doesn't need to be a lot, right? So here's a chartreuse belly, but has an orange throat. Here's a white belly, but has a little pink throat, a little pink at the tail. There's a rainbow trout, a little pink on the throat. So those are baits. You know, here's a fire tiger, right? Orange on the belly. So purple, red, orange, and pink. For my record keeping, we know for a fact that those colors are important. So make sure you get those. Size 4 to 8 inches. You know, this is probably the smallest bait I'll fish in the spring. This is a Walleye Nation creation. It's their middle sized reaper. Remember, all the bait fish that we have in our lake hatches in our part of the world usually maybe late April, but mostly in May and June. So there's a lot of bait left over from last year that's 4 or 5 inches, 6 inches long. And remember, the bait fish that move shallow in the springtime are big. They're smelt, they're suckers, they're chubs, they're big bait. So we want a little bit bigger crankbait. That's a big deal. As we get into summertime, we'll talk about that as we get into summertime, but smaller baits work. But this time of year, I wouldn't fish anything smaller than 4 inches. That's just kind of me. So a size 9, size 11 are bigger, because remember those numbers, that 9, that 11, those are actually centimeters, so 2.5 centimeters per inch. So a 10 centimeter bait is basically 4 inches. So you know, when you start to look at baits that have like flicker minnows, Rapalas, you know, 11s, 13s, 15s, 18s, 14s, 12 and 14, you're looking at a deep husky jerk, those are important. So we want to stay about 4 to 8 inches. That gets us there. That sweet spot is kind of at 4.5 to 6 is the sweet spot. And don't forget in the springtime, don't forget jointed crankbaits. Jointed crankbaits, you know, your grandpa fished jointed crankbaits, and maybe your dad did, but we have kind of forgotten jointed crankbaits. We've kind of set them aside and really taken them out of our arsenal. That's a mistake. Flicker shads, flicker minnows now come and join it. I carry both. I carry size 7, size 9, size 11 flicker minnows in jointed. I carry size 5, 7, and 9 flicker shads in jointed. I have jointed glass shad wraps in my boat. Jointed baits are cool, right? Because what happens is, remember, traditionally to get more action in a bait, what do we have to do? Speed up. We speed up, we get a little more action. Sometimes fish don't want that bait going really fast. I'm going to call it the horizontal speed, right? Going through the water. So what we want to do with a jointed crankbait is we can keep the movement, the horizontal speed through the water slow, but get more action because that tail is jointed. So we can create more action at a slower speed with jointed crankbaits. So again, sometimes those fish want a little more action, but they don't want more speed to create that action. So a jointed crankbait is a great idea. I would tell you to make sure that you've got some jointed. Take your favorite crankbaits and buy a jointed version. I'll tell you, you won't be disappointed. There are some days those jointed crankbaits, again, they add a little more action without having to increase speed. Okay. All right. That is kind of our primer there on spring crankbaits. Lots of stuff there to cover. Let's do this now. Let's open it up to questions. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Anything you want to talk about as we kind of get going on talking about spring crankbaits? Any, maybe some things that I missed, maybe some things you guys do a little bit different. Is there anything that you guys want to ask me about springtime crankbaits? Because it is, look, again, it is one of the best ways to fish the lake in the springtime. I definitely prefer crankbaits over crawler harnesses or spoons in the springtime. Crankbaits just work. They work perfect. They imitate bait fish. They're easy to get a spread out. They're easy to control the depth, and they hook up really good, right? Roy says, did you just say the phrase too fast? Yes, I did. There are times you can go too fast. Yeah, I did say too fast. Fast isn't always the answer. A lot of times it is, but it's not always. So we have to obviously pay attention to that, right? And look at where, speed is. Speed is number four after we get the location right. Four, the first part of the presentation is the speed. Kenny Spark says, are rattles and baits effective? Absolutely, Ken. I think personally, I think the colder the water, the more important rattles are. Same way with scent, right? This is the time of year I put scent on everything, even my hard baits. I think noise and scent, sound and scent are more important the colder the water is. Would larger spoons be effective? I'm not a big spoon guy in early spring, only because spoons don't move as much water as crankbaits. You don't have that sound, you don't have that rattle. You just don't have everything that a crankbait provides. Look at, and I like plastic crankbaits this time. I very rarely, in the springtime, fish a wood crankbait. It's almost always plastic because we do have that sound. So, will spoons work? Sure, you can catch fish on some spoons, but it's not your best choice, because again, there's something about that sound and the profile of a crankbait that just looks more like a springtime bait fish than spoons do. Kurt says, nighttime, nighttime, nighttime. If you want to fish at night, this is a great time to fish at night. So there you go. Jim says he uses two lures on each rod and line, 2 liters from a three-way swivel of a slightly different length. And he pairs up, I know he pairs up his baits, the same bait, just in shell diving, deep diving version. So he'll run a deep Husky Jerk 12 and then a regular Husky Jerk. And then he'll run a top 20, which is a deep diving version of a P10 and a P10. So he'll run the same lure, just the deep diving version on one and the shell diving version on the top. So something to try. Greg says, does hook direction change the action? Absolutely does, right? So we've talked about this quite a bit. When you've got crankbaits, especially crankbait that maybe you can't get tuned, right? It's important to take your crankbait and hold it up like that and look at the hooks. Because remember, a treble hook is just a single hook welded to a double hook. That's what it is. So we've got 2 points on one side and 1 point on the other side of a hook, right? So here this bait is hanging right because we got two hooks on the left on the back, one hook on the left on the front hook, and then 2 points on the right in the front, 1 point on the right on the back. So there's 3 points on both sides of the bait. That means the bait is going to be balanced. It's going to run straight. So anytime you're running a bait with two hooks, you want to make sure that you've got same number of points on both sides. If you're running a bait with three hooks, the front and back should be the same. The middle should be different. So you can definitely affect how baits run by how you put the hooks on and which way the points actually do move. Great question. Jeremy says he likes joint Rapalas for hand lining. And again, that's a great thing because in hand lining, sometimes you're stopped in the current, right? You find a spot, you just let that boat hover in the current. And now that bait really isn't moving forward, there's really not a lot of forward pressure. Obviously, you got the current, but there's not a lot of extra forward pressure. And now you're getting more action from a jointed bait. Love that idea. Absolutely love that idea for hand lining. Or, three-way rigging, right? I know some of the guys that are watching, fish the Mississippi and Missouri River, where you've got wing dams and you anchor up and you just drop a bait back and you're just holding that bait there, basically like hand lining. You're holding that bait against the front of the wing dam. And maybe you're sliding it across the front and the back by moving the boat back and forth. That extra wiggle on that jointed bait could be an awesome attractor some days. So Doug says he likes the idea. Does the double bait get tangled in the net a lot? Jim says not a big problem with a little extra care. I don't know, Doug. Can you imagine some of the guys we have on our charter boats with eight extra lures flipping around there? Roy says lots of guys trying to learn hand line this weekend. The Detroit River is a little bit dirty. It is a little bit tough, a little bit cold. So I'm sure there are some guys. Great question, Dave. Dave says, do you like just a snap or a snap swivel to attach your crankbait? Awesome question. Just a snap. You should never put a snap swivel on a crankbait. Crankbait should never twist your line. If crankbaits are twisting your line, you need to get them tuned properly. That's the big deal. So just a snap. I like a round bend snap. And remember, a little pro tip here, we've showed you guys this quite a bit. We've got a Just the Facts. If you go to our public lounge and go through the Just the Facts library, we've got a little Just the Facts on this. Remember that crankbait snap has that little tab that locks it in. You always want to make sure that that tab is facing up away from the bill. If you turn it the other way and it turns down, that tab, you'll see, go through some of your crankbaits, you'll see what we call smiles on the lip. And every time that crankbait tab snap catches on the bill, it stops the bait from running. So just a round bend snap and make sure that tab is pointing up away from the bill. You're going to get the best action you can get. Since it's the year of the mud, what are your favorite colors? I like dark colors when it's muddy. You know, Fire Tiger is a favorite of mine all the time. I fish Fire Tiger, clear water, dirty water, stained water. I just like Fire Tiger. It's got three colors that the walleyes can see the best, you know, fluorescent orange, fluorescent green, fluorescent yellow. So Fire Tiger is a good choice. But when the water gets muddy, I like blacks. I like dark purples. If I'm going to run metallics, I like copper. I stay away from silver and gold in dirty water, because if you've got enough mud, you don't get enough light to actually get the reflection and make that chrome or gold bait actually, you know, shimmy. It doesn't really shine. So copper is a favorite of mine. Black baits, purple baits are favorites of mine in dirty water for sure. Tim says, you mentioned scent on crankbaits early spring. What scent is your go-to? We covered this last week on Coffee Hour, so you can go back and watch that. But I'm a Pro-Cure guy. I've been a Pro-Cure guy for a couple of years. The colder the water is, to me, the stinkier I like my stuff to be. So early in the season, when it's a little chilly out, you know, water below about 50 degrees, I'm a garlic nightcrawler guy. It is nasty. It stinks. It smells. But that's what you want. You want that little bit of extra sound and a little bit of smell, because those are the two biggest senses, that two most sensitive senses that walleyes have, most fish have, is their feeling on the lateral line. That's that low frequency vibration, and then their smell. So something really, really stinky. As the water gets a little bit warmer and I'm fishing crankbaits in the middle of the water column, I may go to a gizzard shad or an emerald shiner scent, more of a natural scent. But in cold water, I like the garlic nightcrawler. They do make Pro-Cure does make a garlic minnow. I like something that really, 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 really stinks in the springtime. Steve says, in my experience, pink lemonade and similar colors are killers on the bay in the spring, but purple demon and baby blue minnow work better in the fall. Pretty similar water temps. Does that have to do with the state of the bait fish in spring versus fall, or the dirtier water? I think it's a dirtier water, because traditionally, and that's a great question. See, good comment. I like, if you've ever listened to me talk about fall walleye, I love white baits in the fall. I like white baits. I like gray baits, bone colored baits, clear baits. I like those baits in the fall. I like a little bit darker baits in the springtime, because again, traditionally it's all watercolor, right? So if I went out and the watercolor was halfway, halfway decent, if it was, you know, stained green, you're right back to the same colors, right? This is the LV watermelon, pink lemonade, one of my favorites. It's a watercolor thing. Traditionally though, we get more dirty water in the spring than we do in the fall because of the runoff. So, it's one of those deals. I traditionally start with multiple colors. That's kind of my thing. But pink lemonade is one I fish a lot. Purple demon's one I fish a lot. Lights out is one I fish a lot. This is the LV watermelon. The LV baby blue minnow is one I fish a lot. Trying to think of the other one. Raspberry dolphin, one of my favorites. You know, copper with a purple head and a pink belly. Love those. So yeah, it's, you know, color is an experiment thing, but traditionally the darker the water, the more brown the water is, the darker my baits are. As the water clears up a little bit, gets into green, whatever it is. And then as it gets blue water, I may go to, you know, I try to stay out of the blue water, but when I get that really clear green, I may go to some golds and some silvers and add some of those in my spread too. But whites and blacks, dark bodies and light body, white and gray bodies, and then black and purple bodies catch fish all the time. And purple demon is a, you know, purple with a pink belly. Baby blue minnow is kind of a dull white with a blue with a orange belly. And then pink lemonade is a white body with a pink belly. So I mean it's kind of all it's all in there. So Jeff says he said good luck with the ProCure bloody tuna. It smells big time. I've got some bloody tuna in my salmon stuff. Maybe I'll whip that out. But as the water, the colder the water is, the more I like my stuff to really stink. And I like the garlic night color. I did order some new. They have a garlic minnow now, so it's a minnow. It's a bunch of different minnow species crushed up with garlic. So I did order some of that. But I just like really stinky in cold water and dirty water. So just me, like I said, as the water gets a little warmer, we get in that mid-50s. My crankbaits are going to have a scent on them that smells like the bait fish that the walleyes are feeding on. So you know, emerald shiner smell, whatever that, gizzard shad, whatever the case may be. But in cold water, I like stinky. So there you go. All right, anything else before we move on to the next part? Spots or stripes on your cranks? Hi, Tom. Hey, congratulations on your retirement. Yes, I think spots and stripes definitely make a crankbait better, especially in cold water. I don't have as much data in the spring as I do the fall, but in the fall for sure. Most of the baits that I fish in the fall have some kind of, let's call it a pattern on them. Spots, stripes, whatever the case may be. Definitely makes a difference in colder water. Definitely makes a big difference in fall time. I don't see as big a deal with spots and stripes in the summertime as I do in cold water. So, but yes, spots and stripes, you betcha. You betcha. Plain old crankbaits just nah, they're not good. Unless the water's really clear, right? And the pattern's really consistent. Then single color baits work. We fish our Jayla, which is solid orange, Silver Bullet, which is solid chrome. But when the water gets a little bit of color to it, and especially as it gets cold, a little variation, contrast, right, is what I like. Arlos is talking about color. I watched a very good video by my friend Keith Eschbach, great fisherman. Keith is explaining UV and different colors. How does that come into the equation? I haven't done enough work. That's a great question, Arlo. I have not done enough work with UV to say yes or no. I would tell you if Keith tells you yes, that he believes there's situations that UV works. I would 100% believe that because Keith is a great fisherman, a great record keeper, a very scientific kind of fisherman. So if he says that UV certain times a year works, I would 100% go with that because I know Keith personally. I would trust Keith 100%. I have not personally spent enough time with UV to tell you yes or no. That's just me. Look at if somebody tells me it works, if I can get enough data that says it makes a difference, this guy will have it on. So I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go find that video from Keith, and I'm gonna watch that. I like that idea because UV is a big thing, right? So there we go. Okay, Phil says when getting started, how often do you leave a lure in the water if you're marking fish before changing something? Usually one pass. If I'm in the right spot and I put a good spread out and I know I'm on the fish. And I make one pass, I start to think, what do I need to change? Usually it's my speed first, right? Because there's no sense pulling baits in if you can change your speed, 3/10 of a mile an hour and catch fish. There's no sense bringing everything in. So I start with speed and then we kind of work from there. So but one pass. Yeah, I don't get I you don't get a lot of chances with me if you're a fish. So you better if you're a fish and you want to be on my Facebook page, you better bite quick because if not, I'm leaving. Look at here's what I know. There's fish biting somewhere. So I don't spend too much time on a pod of fish. If I can't get them to go, I'll pick up and head somewhere else to find another pod. So I don't spend a lot of time trying to get fish to bite. That's just me. I just don't spend a lot of time trying to get fish to bite. But one pass, if it's a really good pod, I'll change speed. If that doesn't do anything, I may make one more quick little pull through there, probably changing shape. And then we'll kind of see what happens from there. But I don't spend a lot of time. Jim says he graduated the Great Lakes charter captain class. Good. Congratulations to you, buddy. Good to see you, Captain. Mitch says, do you add color dots to some lures? If so, what brand or type of paint? I occasionally do. I carry in my boat, I've got a, just a Tupperware container with about 30 different colors of just markers, Sharpie markers. and boop, put it on there. And you know, they're great for spinner blades, they're great for bombs of crankbaits, they're great for putting a little extra color on spoons. So I just go to my staple store and I just grab a bunch of colors of different shades of reds, blues, greens, yellows, purples, pinks. I just, you know, carry 20, 25 different color markers, and I just use those markers. That's what I do. So I don't carry paint in the boat because I think that gets to be too much, but Sharpie markers work great. Ken says, "Well, I do not see UVC. I don't know enough about that yet." So that might be a topic I need to dig into and maybe get back to you guys in August or September and maybe do some research on UV. So Jim says he's used permanent markers. Okay. All right. Anything else? I'm going to wrap this up real quick. That was a great conversation about do they have garlic Sharpies? Ah, nice one, Dougie. Shad bodies, Kurt says, not in open water. You know, again, you know, some I know you guys do a lot of night fishing. You know, I'm not a big shad body guy until the water gets a little bit warmer. I like longer, skinnier baits. You know, this is probably the most shad looking bait I would fish. I don't like the big bellies on baits in early season. I like long, skinny baits, again, because of the action that they have. Shad body, excuse me, shad bodies become much more prevalent and much more effective as water gets a little bit warmer. So, okay. All right, let's wrap this up. If you got any more questions, obviously you can go to the Facebook page tonight or tomorrow. Let us, you know, post them up and we'll be more than happy to take care of you. Let's get into our coffee hour topic tonight for about 15 minutes. What is on your bucket list for 2022 fishing season? Where do you want to go? What do you have on your, you know, is there a new place you want to go fishing? Is there a new person you want to fish with? A new technique that you want to learn? When we're sitting down here in late November after Thanksgiving, we go, did you accomplish what you wanted to accomplish this year fishing? What is one or two things on your list, on your bucket list for fishing this year? Captain Todd says marlin. He wants to go marlin fishing. I'd like to do that too, Todd. I like that. I like that idea. Mark says standard rock in August, something I would like to do. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. I need to put about 50 gas cans in the pontoon to get out there though. But standard rock in August for lake trout would be awesome. That would be amazing. You know, I want to do some more smallmouth bass fishing. I want to find somebody to spend some time with me on Lake Erie or Lake St. Clair, specifically this year, and actually spend 2 or 3 days actually smallmouth fishing. I got some things I want to try to see how they actually transfer over to smallmouth bass fishing. So looking for, you know, head out there with somebody that really knows it so we can kind of go. Jasper says Lake Ontario king salmon fishing in spring. Lake Ontario is amazing. An awesome king salmon fishery over there. A lot better than we have over here for sure. Roy says, I want to fish with Larry Cameron. Knocked one guy off my list in the last 2 weeks already. Good for you. Take the boat to Saginaw Bay at least once. Well, I hope you can do that. Doug says, got the Mega Live. Really want to put it to use on some casting trips. Looking forward to how Doug uses that. I've got Active Target on my new Polar Craft, getting ready to use that a little bit on the river. So I'm sure that'll be a learning experience. It's going to be kind of hard to guide and try to figure out sonar, but we'll figure it out. Jim says, headed to the UP late spring, Les Chenaux Islands in the Eastern UP. Great perch fishing, great pike fishing up that way. Jeff says, muskie in St. Clair just once. That's an awesome thing, Jeff. That's an awesome. Get a few guys and hire a guide. That's the best way to do it because they're on fish. If you need a tip or need a guide, send me an email. I'm more than happy to get you hooked up with a couple friends of mine. I got a couple guys that guide casting, a couple friends of mine that guide trolling. That's a big body of water. Take specialized equipment, spend the money, and hire a good guide. Let them tell you the time to go, and let her rip. Doug says he's fished just a few smallie tournaments on both water. Let's do it. I'd love that, Dougie. I don't know that I'd want to fish a tournament, but I'd love to hop in your Ranger and do a little smallmouth fishing. I'd love that. Arlo says he's fishing an inland lake tournament series. Looking forward to Lake Chautauqua. We did a Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writer conference on Lake Chautauqua and went out one day and did some walleye fishing on Lake Chautauqua and did pretty good. So yeah, I enjoyed Lake Chautauqua. Nice little place. Steve says autumn walleye on Lake Leelanau. Beautiful part of the world. One of those underlooked Lake Leelanau, North Lake Leelanau, a couple of those underlooked Walleye fisheries that we have here in Michigan, that would be an awesome. In autumn, fall would be a great time. That's a very traditional mesotrophic lake, late mesotrophic. So a lot of deeper water, a lot of live bait rigging, a lot of structure deep. Steve, you're gonna love that. That's gonna be great. Joseph is going to do my bucket list July 30th, fishing with me and Roy Miller and Lee Gould on the Angler Quest. That'll be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be great. Tom Miranda, hi Tommy, says late fall muskie fishing on the Upper Niagara. Now, Tom is from that way. We met Tom at our Dunkirk, New York Fishing Education Weekend a couple of years ago. Great fisherman, newly retired. Again, congratulations, my friend. That Upper Niagara River is someplace that every time we go to Niagara every year for to do a fishing show, and I'm like, man, I got to get back out here. Tommy, you get that set up, let me know, buddy. You might have an extra rod in your boat if you want one. That'd be fun. The Upper Niagara River, our good friends Jake and Mark Romanek at Fishing 411, they've been up there a couple times, and the fishing is just amazing. The Upper Niagara, it's really a cool place to go that I would really like to learn how to fish. Danny says, I'm going to try to fish the Wisconsin waters of Green Bay and more inland lakes here in the UP. There are so many to fish up here. Dan is up living now just outside of Escanaba, so he's going to have lots of time to explore Green Bay and some inland lakes up there in the UP. Rock says he's headed to Rayburn Bay, Eastern UP in May. I fished Rayburn Bay. I fished that whole lake, or St. Clair, or St. Clair. Oh, St. Mary's River system. One of my favorite places to fish, but it is tough. Oh, David, I like this. He's got an extra day off in Tulsa, Oklahoma next month, planning to try striper fishing. He calls it stripper fishing, but I know he means striper fishing. That's something I've always wanted to do too, a little bit of striper fishing. So that would be kind of fun. Boy, Dave, I'm looking forward to seeing some pictures on that. That'd be kind of cool. Kim says hoping to go to Lake Erie. He's got a tough situation at home. Yeah, Kim, I know that, buddy. Gary says, I want to learn more ways to troll. That's the reason he signed up for the trolling boot camp. Like that. Hopefully, we'll teach you something. Leo Good says he's in the same mind, Lake Ontario, as Jasper. I fished three salmon tournaments on Lake Ontario a couple of years ago and loved it. Big salmon, big salmon. Good time. Really, really, really good. Fished out of three different ports. Won a tournament there. I think finished second in the other one. I think third or fourth in the other one. So I had a really good summer over on Lake Ontario. Big fish. They're bigger and they seem to pull a lot more than our west side fish do. Pound for pound, they pull a little bit more. Rob says, hope to go back to Como Lake this summer. Never heard of Como Lake. Where's that at, Rob? Frank Brodsky's new boat. It hasn't been fun for sure. Started with the Vexus, ended with the Ranger. I think there's a story there. Boy, new boats are great. They are absolutely, they're fun to get, but they are tough. I'm still trying to get the Polar Craft ready for Detroit. So it's one of those, it's a blessing and a curse. Jeffrey says casting jigs on the river and casting lures in the lake. That's something I want to do more of too. I agree with Jeff. More rod in the hand stuff. It's kind of hard to do in charters, but more of that. One of the things I want to do too, and I want to get back to largemouth bass fishing. I love largemouth bass fishing. I love tube fishing. I really like spinnerbait fishing. I like to try some of the frog stuff that I see these guys do. I used to like to fish a lot of topwater, a lot of popwater fishing. I'm trying to think sluggos. I used to like to love to fish sluggos on Lake Nepasene over the heavy weeds. I'm looking forward to maybe getting out with somebody, hint hint, and doing a little bit of largemouth bass fishing this summer. I miss largemouth bass fishing. Jeff says, live up in Port Huron. I would like to try Harbor Beach, Grindstone City, walleye and smallmouth bass. Great places to fish. Mitch says, find new fishing buddies. But we'll settle for trying new lakes like Burt, Houghton, etc. Burt and Mullet. That's a really cool place, and there's a ton of walleye there. A ton of walleye in Burt and Mullet that, again, a little bit different than kind of our fishing, more hands-on fishing, more structured fishing, but a great place to go and kind of learn some new things. Diane says, they have a must. Yes, Diane, maybe we need to talk a little bit. Spike it markers, Rick says, have garlic in them. I like that idea. My good buddy Al says, explore the resident population of Bay of Quinte walleye and big smallmouth during the summer. Didn't retire here just for fall trophy fishing. So he is retired now. Al has been on my boat a couple times with his beautiful wife. And we've talked a lot about Bay of Quinte in the fall. And he's retired and he's over there now. So he's looking forward to getting on the walleye and the big smallmouth during the summer, not waiting until the fall. Boy, living the good life, Al. Good for you, buddy. Smallmouth bass on Dale Howell, says James. Great fishing trip, Tennessee. Like that. Roy Miller, like to fish some inland lakes in Minnesota. Yeah, you know, I mean, I love Cass Lake, Leech Lake, the bottom part of Lake of the Woods, you know, just all those places up there in Minnesota are some of my favorite places to go. So Bob says, Como Lake is in Chaplot. Okay, nice. Todd says, two best days with the boat, day you buy it, day you sell it. Ain't that the truth? Arlo says, I've caught a lot of fish, but none in freshwater pull harder than a fresh spring king caught on the Niagara Bar on Lake Ontario. I would believe that. Absolutely believe that. Because I know the fish we caught, I mean, even in the summertime, man, they were bulls. I mean, they just, you know, you're like, man, this has got to be a, you know, 30 pound fish and it's a, you know, an 18 pounder. They pull harder over there than they do over here for sure. Jim says Columbia River, Bowie 10 area, walleyes and sturgeon. Now that's Columbia River is definitely on my bucket list. That's going to be a long trip and we're going to have to wait for gas prices to get somewhere normal before I make that trip. But yeah, Columbia River would be definitely a trip that I would, it's on my bucket list. One of the few places I haven't fished. Lake Tobin, Red River, Saskatchewan, Columbia River, Bay of Quinte. My list is getting smaller. I try to knock one out every year or two. But yeah, good for you. I hope you get a chance to go out there, Jim. Wayne says, been herring fishing for years at a Detour in July, ready to find some walleye. You know, it's funny, the first time I was up at Detour, walleye fishing professional walleye trail tournament, come around the corner and there's a whole bunch of boats and I'm like, man, this has got to be the spot. And they ended up, they were all herring fishing. So it wasn't a great spot for walleye, but it was kind of funny to see everybody. You know, they got, you know, 12, 14 foot rods and like, what is going on here? And then you ask some locals and you know, they're over there herring fishing. So pretty cool. Dale says pool four in Red Wing. Hey, if you're going to head to Red Wing, let me know. I've got some really close friends over there who'd be more than happy to hook you up on some fish. Over in Red Wing, one of my favorite places to fish. I fished one tournament over there in Red Wing, one of my favorite places to fish, fun fishing there on the Mississippi River. Brad says, back to Stony Lake, Ontario for beautiful walleye and big gills. Good for you. That's something I miss too, is, you know, one of the things, unfortunately, with my schedule, you know, April and May between Detroit, and then we jump right on Saginaw Bay. I don't get to go bluegill fishing and crappie fishing anymore. I used to love to go out, you know, get them on the edges of their beds. And, you know, I used to do a lot of bobber fishing for them, put a small jig on a bobber and float it up into a bed and watch the bobber go under. And hey, boy, unfortunately with my schedule, I'm good for you, Brad. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than catching big bluegills and big crappies. Two of my favorite things, especially the rod in my hand. Like I said, bobber fishing, I'd put a bobber out and I'd cast a jig around while I was waiting for the bobber to go under. Good for that. See that? I like that idea. You know, it's not all walleye, right? It's just not all walleye fishing. There's so much to do. And unfortunately, the two little, you know, it seems like the two little windows we have where fishing's really good in the spring and the fall, it all happens at once, right? You know, the minute the walleye fishing gets good on Detroit River, you know, the coho fishing's good and the early spring fishing's good and the steelhead are in and, you know, the bluegills are on their beds and the crappies are on their beds. You're like, I can't. You know, you can't do it all, unfortunately. So it's too bad that the second week of April to the third week of May, it's too bad that doesn't last for 3 months. Then we could do it all, right? It'd be kind of nice if that lasted for, maybe we could get, if we could trade February and March for more April, maybe we could do that, huh? If we could figure that out. So anyway, all right, great night tonight, guys. Enjoyed it. Always fun to talk fishing with you guys. Appreciate you checking in tonight. We're going to call it a night. Luckily, we got through the issues. Didn't have a problem. So that worked out good. Thank you to the guy on the other end of the camera making me look good. He still hasn't bought that tall skinny filter yet, but oh darn it. Thank you for the help tonight, Emmett. Appreciate that. All your efforts to make this happen. I hope you guys like the new system with the slides coming up and the little bit of the education that we're doing now instead of just chatting. We definitely want Coffee Hour to stay a chat because that's kind of part of the charm. But we also want to make sure you get a little bit of education and learn a little bit about fishing every Monday night we're together. All right, be sure to check out the website, teachingfishing.com. Click on the public forum. Go check out all of the free videos that are there. If you want some more detailed learning, join the Teaching Fishing Anglers Club and or check out the DVD to stream. Some awesome stuff there. We've still got the Detroit River Workshop up. You can still get that for a couple more weeks if you're interested. And that's it. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you back here next Monday night for more Coffee Hour Plus. Have a great night. We'll see you guys soon.